Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear to be different. My name is Ismail Bria, but just wonderful to have all of you tuning in with us via the audio streaming medium wave 1548 Satellite Islam. And now we also have all listeners via the DSTV bouquet 826. And a warm welcome to all of you. Coming in, it was a beautiful morning this morning, brilliant sunshine, and we've had some lovely weather. Weather reports say that we're still very, very far from rains, but Allah knows best, and we are looking out for beneficial rains. And while talking about rains, listen to some of the reports. They said that the dams are low, and we have a lot of evaporation taking place, so that is a concern. And all of us should be conserving water. All of us should be finding ways and means which to preserve this precious resource. And as we know, the South Africa is one of those countries where water is a scarce resource, and we should be using it very sparingly. We've learned lots of lessons in the last season, and this morning we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest who's going to tell and take us along on the journey this morning, and that is Michelle Kutzer. Now, Michelle Kutzer comes from Brand Miller's Nursery, very far from our side. Temperature's slightly lower than ours by about 2 degrees, and just always wonderful to talk to her. She's got so much to share, so much to tell us, and this morning, remember that you could join our conversation anytime. The number to dial 854-1548, and online with me is Michelle. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Ismail.
How are you this morning? Thank you and very much for talking to us and being with us in this program.
That's an absolute pleasure. It's a glorious day this morning, I must say.
Yes, and you know, when you are talking to you, you always make it sound so brilliant and bright. Tell us about the brightness, and we've had the cold weather last week. What do you think about that one last Sunday?
Well, I wasn't surprised because we always get a wake-up call in September. So I must say I wasn't surprised, but we are enjoying lovely days at the moment, I must say. And for those of you that are in despair, the rain is on the way. I truly believe that because I've been watching the birds and they're building their nests very high. My grandfather always said, when the birds build high, you know you're going to get good rain. And I've also noticed the spiders are starting to move indoors, and the frogs have been making such a noise at night. So it's definitely a sign that it is on the way.
Thank you very much. You know, last week I was talking to someone, and I said those are some of the indicators, because I remember when the tsunami took place, you know, many, many years ago. And then, you know, all the animals for the first couple of days before the actual tsunami had sought, you know, refuge in higher ground. And that was a very good indicator. And like you said, when you talk about birds, I was looking at the birds in our garden as well, and I found, well, it wasn't very low, you know, and I said, well, it seems an indicator of rain, but may not mean rain immediately, but when they do build the nest, the higher it says it can be an abundance of rain. And now you've got two other indicators. You talked about the spiders coming indoors, and you talked about the frogs, you know, croaking even louder. So those are very good indicators. So those people who watch and have been watching nature and are following that, you know, those are very good indicators, and people say, well, some people are dismissive and say we've got scientific, ways of, but I think these are very, very good ways, because they have instinct built in, and Almighty knows best how they are able to determine that. But those are very good watch points. So, well, Michelle, whilst they say we're getting good rains, they say it's not too soon. I'm not too sure about that. And like we said, we don't really know, but we're all praying for beneficial rain.
Yes, no, most certainly. And also the wind has been blowing from the north, and we find that northern wind definitely brings the rain as well.
Well, another indicator. Well, thank you. So you shared so much this morning. So the northern wind brings in rain, and you talked about the three different, you know, whether it was insects or creatures or and birds. So it was different, and I think that is fantastic. So we have some indicators, and we're all really looking up towards that beautiful, beautiful rain that we need, and a beneficial one. Michelle, we've learned lots of lessons last season. I'm going to say last year, because it was into this year as well, where we seem to have lost, appreciated the value of water, and we came and we've done lots and lots of things. Now, this morning, our first part or the first segment is we're going to be looking at how to care for tools and perhaps leaked taps, and also looking at water-wise aspect of the garden. So let's look at some of those things. It's a bit too late for some of us. I know that some of us will be using our shears and our mowers and so forth, but let's go through some of the things that we should have done or should be still doing if we haven't done them. So let's look at perhaps the lawn mowers.
So basically, one should have, as you said, done it earlier, because generally, one at the end of July, you normally scarify your lawn, which means you cut your lawn very short. So basically, in June is the right time to sort out your lawnmower, check that it's clean, check that the blades are sharp, you know, have your blades sharp and tighten all the bolts and make sure that your lawnmower is clean. And I can't stress that enough, because often if you're mowing one area of the garden and you might have weeds and you pick up the weeds, you go to the next area of the garden and then you spread the weed seed. So it's very important that once you're finished using your lawnmower that you actually wash it so that you make sure that you don't have any weed seeds remaining behind.
And when you talk about washing it, would that just mean an ordinary wash with rinse with water, or would that mean perhaps taking something like an antiseptic liquid? I'm, you know, just trying to think of what would be the best way to get rid of those seeds or those weeds that would perhaps germinate if you have to lawn, or, you know, or mow another part of the lawn.
Normally water is sufficient, and perhaps a brush, just to brush out all the loose bits of seed and the bits of grass that have sort of caked on the inside.
Thank you very much. So that's the one. The other one that we always talk about, and that's the, you know, the shears and the, you know, trimming cutters and so forth. Now, that, tell us something about that. And go ahead, please.
Well, first of all, normally when one buys shears, a lot of people buy them for life. I know people that have owned the same pair of shears or secateurs for like 30 or 40 years. And you need to see it as an investment when you buy a decent pair of shears. And there are nuts on them, so the nuts can be tightened as over time when they come loose. And the blades can also be sharpened. One can use those normal stones, I think they call it a whetstone, that you sharpen a normal knife blade on. You can use that to sharpen them. Some of the secateur brands also have spare blades that one can buy, and one must also check the springs, because sometimes over time the springs actually become loose and they don't work anymore, so you can get replacement springs. But once you've used your secateurs, you need to clean them, and what's a very good idea is to wipe them with an old oily rag, just to make sure that there's a little bit of a layer of oil on them. That seems to keep them in good condition for a long time.
And again, you know, transmitting of diseases and so forth, because you may have some plants that have got fungal disease on, and if you use a secateur, you use a shear and so forth, and you've cut that, would that perhaps spread the fungal disease onto other plants?
It certainly can, yes. What one can do is put them in Jay's fluid. One can also wash them in soapy water and then just rinse them. But what's very important, that you must make sure you don't close, as with any normal scissor, that you don't close it while it's still wet with water, because otherwise it's going to probably rust. So make sure that they're free from water. But as I say, a bit of oil on them will certainly make a difference.
Well, so that's the most important sort of set of tools that you have. It's your lawnmower, your secateurs, your shears, and so forth. Any other particular tools that you would you know, require in the garden that would need maintenance and an ongoing maintenance? And like you said, you know, if you buy these things, buy them as a lifetime investment. Buy a good set, invest in a couple, a good one, and you know you've got it for life, and thereafter look after it. Any other particular tool that you think would be something that would have in the garden, you know? Well, things like the rakes and the forks and so forth, that doesn't really maintenance except cleaning, is that right?
Yes, but things like spades, over time spades also do get blunt, so you can actually take a normal metal file and file the edges of the spade just to sharpen it again. And I know a friend of mine, what she does is she's got a bucket of sand, in a building sand in her garage, which has got a bit of motor oil in. And every time she's finished using her spade, she actually pushes it into the sand, because the sand then removes all the loose soil on the actual spade, and then the oil is a lubricant too. And again, one must just beware of putting away spades that are wet. You need to clean them afterwards and then either put them in a bucket of sand with some oil, or you can actually take some sunflower oil and wipe them, but make sure that they're not wet from water. That's very important, because again, otherwise they'll rust. And a lot of the spades, particularly the more expensive ones, have wooden handles, so you could use something like linseed oil on the wooden handles just to keep the wood looking in a good condition.
I think it's such a brilliant idea to have a bucket of sand, you know, river sand, and then to have some oil. I suppose you could even use, you know, use motor oil, any oil that would sort of lubricate it, and you have it in there and you put it. I think what a brilliant idea this morning. Thank you for sharing, and I'm sure some people would put that into use almost immediately. That tip is a fantastic one. Thanks for sharing that, Michelle. Mm-hmm. And any other one that you think that, you know, that we sometimes not aware of?
Yes, and also your spray equipment that you would use either for weed killers or for applying pesticides. And one thing I first of all like to say there, that when you've got a spray bottle which you're using for weed killer, please mark it weed killer clearly, because often what happens is when you've rinsed your container, afterwards you go and you put, for example, poison for an aphid in and you want to go and spray something for aphids and you wonder why your plant is dying. It's because there might have been some residue left from the weed killer. So if you've got a spray bottle for weed killer, you need to keep it just for that purpose, not for anything else. And also when you're finished with your spray bottle, you need to rinse it out properly and make sure that the nozzle isn't clogged up, because sometimes some of the poisons actually leave a bit of a residue. So it's important to clean out your nozzle so that the next time you want to use it, it's not clogged. Just like a normal aerosol can tends to clog over time, the same thing here, the spray nozzles need to be cleaned out.
So a good watch point there was, you know, to have them marked and, you know, make sure that you have, you know, instead of having one container, rather have two or three, so that each one has a separate function and you don't have to be then too concerned about the contamination or the mixture, you know, of one spray of poison as opposed to another one that is a weed killer or something like that. And I think you can have all of that. And that's a fantastic idea. Thanks for sharing that one as well. Now, Michelle, any other ones before we go on to other parts of the garden that needs maintenance?
Not that I can think of offhand, except your forks, with the same thing would apply like your spades. Just make sure that you get the old soil off and clean them and make sure that they're not wet. And the same would apply to your rakes, because most of them are obviously metal and then they tend to rust if they're wet. So when you're putting them away, because some people put them away in cupboards or they put them away in a garage, and obviously there's not much light or air to dry them. So just make sure that they are dry before you put them away.
Now we go on to, you know, the other one is with regards to I beg your pardon, your hose pipes and your taps. Let's go through some of those things. So what could we do and how could we ensure that we have, you know, longer use for them, of them?
Well, your hose pipes, when you're finished using them, roll them up. Make sure that you don't bend them. And even while you're using your hose pipe, you need to be aware that often if the pressure drops all of a sudden, it's usually a sign that you've kinked it somewhere, and quickly sort that out. And obviously if they're leaking, you need to sort out the joint immediately, because you'll be wasting water. And your taps, you do get replacement washers for the taps, so please have a look at your taps, and if they're leaking, it's quite easy just to unscrew the tap and replace the washer, because so many times you see people watering and there's more water running out the tap than at the end of the hose pipe because of the leakage.
Yes, I found that happening so often. You know, people woos, and you find that the tap itself, you find more water leaking out at that particular point.
That's true. And then if now the people living in the areas where there's very cold temperatures, what one can do, we do it in the nursery in winter, we actually wrap the tap and the whole stem that the tap stands on with hessian to make sure that the pipes don't burst in winter. So that's also a nice idea to remember if you're in a frosty area.
And then what about the connection, you know, between the hose pipe and the tap? Because I think that, you know, those washers and things always seem to give a problem after a year, you know, a couple of years. And that, yes, also should be sort of looked after. Is that right?
Yes, I find what people often do is they've got a hose pipe with a fitting on the end, and then they've got a sprayer connected to that, and then they decide they want to do something else, and instead of unscrewing the fitting, they actually pull it out. And that's the worst thing you can do, because then you damage the little teeth inside that hold onto the hose pipe, and that's why they start leaking. So you need to unscrew it and then remove your hose pipe. That's quite important.
Well, we've gone through some of the watch points in caring for garden tools. Any calls anyone would like to share, any information, remember the number to call this morning, 854-1548, 854-1548. Mohammed waiting to take on your calls. Now, Michelle, we, you know, that time of the year that people are raring to go out in the garden, but some of them are a bit weary, saying, well, fine, it's so expensive water at the moment, you know, with the cost of water and municipal restrictions, and we have all of that coming in. What should they be doing? Should they be going out, and would it be more prudent to buy seeds than buy seedlings, or better buy seedlings because you don't have to care for them, it's almost ready to go into a garden? Tell us, take us to some of those.
I'm glad you brought up the point of seed, because the thing is, seed needs water regularly. On a very hot day, you would need to water it up to 3 times a day. So I would say seedlings are a better option, because initially they'll need water a bit more, and then once they establish, they'll need a lot less than seeds. So definitely seedlings is the way to go. And I'd also recommend that people rather look at buying water-wise plants and plants that need less water, like obviously succulents and some of the perennials and shrubs definitely need a lot less water, particularly your plants with gray or gray-green foliage. They tend to prefer less water than your glossy big-leafed plants. So one can then make an informed choice, rather buy the water-wise plant than buy one that needs a lot of water. And if you've got a particular area, possibly at your front door or your entertainment area, where you're wanting color, make sure that you limit it to just where you can handle it and where you can actually water it. Because as you say, with the water restrictions at the moment, it's a bit difficult to keep some of the stuff going. So it's just a question of changing your buying patterns and buying the correct plant. And again, I'd like to stress, I've mentioned it before, that you need to make sure that you buy the right plant for the correct position. For example, impatiens, the normal bedding impatiens, don't go and plant them in full sun because they're not meant to grow in full sun. And obviously in full sun, they'll require that much more water. Whereas if you plant them in the shade, they will need less water.
And, I think an important point is to zone the plants now that you are sort of more aware and you're more wise, that plants that have similar needs should be planted together, that make it easier to take care of them. And as you said, the gray-green would perhaps be those plants that need less water. Now, the question many people ask, but, you know, it looks such a drab garden. I wanted something, you know, it's summer, it's spring, I wanted to have some life in it. And isn't there some way that I can add some color to that? Because they say these succulents or gray-green leaves don't have that sort of appeal. Is that correct?
Well, I like gray in the garden because I find it brings a different color in. A lot of people don't. But with your ornamental grasses, they're quite tough and you get so many different colors. And then there are plants that flower. For example, the kingfisher daisy, which is the Felicia, or the gazanias, the osteospermums, the verbenas. There's lots of ground covers and perennials that really can handle the heat and that perform very well in the heat.
Yes, and I'm just looking at a number of other plants. You know, I saw the lavender in the garden blooming. It's fantastic, and, you know, with the gray leaves, although it's gray, its needs are not doesn't need as much water. I'm not too sure. Please correct me with that one. But yet makes a stunning display once the flowers come through. Is that correct?
No, it certainly does, and it also combines so well with other grey-leafed plants, and when it flowers, it's really attractive, and they flower for a long, long time, particularly the Dutch variety and the Margaret Roberts variety, and you can just trim them back to keep them in check. They also do very well in pots.
Well, we come back to pots, and we're coming back, you know, now we're speaking about, you know, water-wise. Now, over the years, there's, you know, been a move to get some of these water-wise and look at some of the succulents. Have there been any new succulents, hybrids of succulents? Because when you look into when you visit a garden center or go into a nursery, go into any store that, you know, has plants, and you find that they seem to have the same varieties only their gardens. Is there a bigger variety now? Are people more aware? And the difference, you know, between a succulent and, you know, the different plants that are water-wise. Take us through some of that.
There is definitely a move in the growers to grow more succulents. Previously, there were just a couple of growers doing them, whereas now even the normal, can I call them shrub growers and tree growers, even they are growing succulents these days. And succulents are not necessarily the succulents as most people know them. Plants like yuccas and dasylirions, even agaves, they are also classified as succulents, and the ponytail palm is often also classified as a succulent. So it's not necessarily just the cacti succulent that you know, the little short growing things. There are other bigger ones. And for example, the one looks literally like a porcupine with its quills, and they do very well in pots. That's the agave gemini flora, and it really is attractive in the pot. So it's not always just small succulents that one can use as succulents. There's other plants that are classified as succulents because they belong to the same family, and there definitely is a bigger variety available these days.
You know, and just you've raised a very important point about the cacti, the agaves, and the succulents, and we sometimes have this debate, you know, are all succulents cacti, or cacti succulents, agaves, where do they follow, you know, or which category and which, you know, plant group they follow, fall into. And I think it's an interesting, I've been watching, and the one that you spoke about last was the agave, you know, one with the porcupine spines. And that looks just so brilliant in a pot, and especially which is put along, you know, on its own, makes such a stunning, you know, talking point.
No, they certainly do. And I mean, you could have one of them either in a pot or in a bed in amongst other succulents, or you could have it in a bed with some gravel around it and show it off as a specimen on its own.
You know, that is so you know, interesting. Now, the other one that I find amongst the succulents, and something that very few people know, and I'm going to describe it, I'm not going to give the name, but it looks very much like a stone, and some looks like a button, and, you know, it is one of those that people don't, and it is, what's that called?
It's a lithops.
That's correct, the lithops. Now, when you look at the lithops, why is it so underrated?
I don't know. I find them quite interesting myself. As you say, they look like stones, and often you'll see the flower will come out in between, or even the stone will sort of split into two and the flower will come out in between, a proper fahy flower. And they really are underrated, and they do so well. And I think it's possibly because they grow fairly slowly. Maybe that's the reason why they're not so popular.
Well, before we go for a news break, it's almost time. You know, I met a friend I was talking to him, and he said to me he had gone out to, you know, the Southern Cape, and he said, what a splendid display of flowers. He said, if you ever have an opportunity, please do go down that side. And, you know, it's the one, the South Africa show, you know, showcases to the world the indigenous flora we have. And have you been there? Have you ever been on that side, Michelle?
No, unfortunately not, for the simple reason that it's at this time of the year and we're too busy in the garden things to get away, but I certainly hope to one day go there. And I believe that a few of my friends that have been this year said that the flowers were actually magnificent this year.
Yeah, they said it was just fabulous. We're going to go for a news break. When we come back, we'll continue. Stay tuned. Thanks.
Did you know that gardening is the fastest growing hobby in the world? Islam highly recommends planting trees and urges people to protect them to the extent that planting a tree is considered as an act of worship for which special prayer is recommended. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, unless you are compelled, do not cut down a tree. So join Ismail Tariyava every Sunday between 8:30 and 9:30 a.m. on the program Dare to Be Different.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, Dare to Be Different. My name is Ismail Tariyava. Just wonderful to have you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, Midway 1548 Satellite Islam, and welcome to those who are listening to us via the STV on 826. And to many of you that are still curled up in bed, others on breakfast, others in the patio, some of them have gone for a walk this morning. I know there's a big walk taking place, but welcome to all of you. And if you have any queries, any questions, remember you could call us on 854-1548. I've got a number of queries that have come through, and we have a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that's Michelle from Brant Miller's Nursery, situated on the south of Johannesburg, just outside Roshni. Hi, good morning, Michelle.
Morning, Ismail.
Thank you very much. I've had two queries coming through. Can we go through that before we continue our conversation? The first one is with regards to strawberries. Should be planted in full sun or semi-sun, semi-shade? What is the best way to get the best out of strawberries?
The best for any fruit is full sun. Obviously, not everybody has a full sunny position. Then you must choose at least a position that gets half day sun. And what I'd also like to mention about strawberries is they do better in pots or hanging baskets than on the ground, because when the fruit lies on the ground, it actually tends to rot. So if you're planting it in the ground, what you can do is you can put weed guard down on the ground and then cut a little slit and plant your strawberries in that, or you could use straw just to stop the fruit from rotting on the ground.
Thank you very much for that one. And is it still time to plant strawberries? It's a bit too late.
No, you can plant strawberries right throughout the year.
Okay, so strawberries is one of those you can get the fruit of throughout the year. The benefit of that is fantastic. Now, I've obtained another question. Since I've obtained a truckload of felled and shredded the indigenous Karia boom, what nutrients does it contain? I would like to use as a mulch. I noticed that the fresh shredded bark turns reddish color when exposed to the sun. So it's a listener who's gotten a truckload of the Karia boom, wants to know about the nutrients that it contain. It'd like to use as a mulch, and he noticed that the fresh shredded bark turns reddish color when exposed to the sun. Can we help with that one?
I'm not sure as far as the nutrients that it would contain. I don't think there would be any nutrient benefit, but certainly as a mulch you could use it. And the color, I think, is due to the bark and the inside of it. It does seem to have like a reddish color, so that's probably what's coming to the front now. But one can certainly use that as a mulch in the garden.
Thank you very much for that. And remember the number, 854-1548 now. Michelle, when we look at what choices we have, we know that rain, you know, we have the water restrictions and we're wanting to plant, and would it be a good, and we have, the issue of food security, would it be a good idea to plant vegetables at this time, and would it be an option pots or in the ground?
Vegetables can certainly be planted now, either in pots, especially those that have limited space, or then in the garden. I'd just like to mention that plants in pots tend to dry out quicker than the garden, for the simple reason that one usually positions them on paving, in a hot area, or against the wall or so. So just bear that in mind, that pots will probably need a little bit more water. But the veggies definitely do well in pots, particularly things like tomatoes and chilies and the sweet peppers as well. Even lettuce. Those of you that have a very small area, you could even have a flower box where you plant some lettuce, particularly the varieties that don't make a head that you just pick the leaves off.
And would it be sort of a good idea to have just one, sort of box where you plant mixed vegetables, or, all the different ones, herbs and vegetables? Because I'm again looking at restrictions and how much we can water. What would be the way forward?
One can certainly combine them together, but there again, one must practice the water-wise principles of zoning, because things like tomatoes and peppers need more or less, and brinjals need more or less the same amount of water, where your lettuce and things like celery needs a lot more water. So obviously then you'd rather put those together that you can water them a bit more than your others.
I've got a call in line. Let's take that one. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Please go ahead. Hello. It seems like we've lost that caller. I'm sure they call. Please do call. Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Please go ahead.
I just want to know, almond trees. Is it right time to plant it now?
An almond tree is the right time to plant. You'll listen up there. Michelle,
yes,
almond trees.
Yes, you can, especially if they're in a container, or they're in a bag or in a pot. One can definitely plant them now. But you need to make sure that you plant the correct two varieties together for cross-pollination. But you do also get self-pollinating varieties, and Brits is one of them, that you only need to plant one on its own.
What's the one that's called that you need one of on its own?
Brits.
How would you spell that, Michelle?
B-R-I-T-Z, Brits.
Okay, like Brits. Okay, thank you very much. Right, we've got another call in line. Let's take that one. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Please go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Strawberry planting. Is it possible for her to repeat it? How to plant it? Fresh strawberries? Or must I get seeds? I just missed that part. Can you please repeat it for me?
Okay.
No problem. Strawberries are available in the garden centres, often in a tray or then in pots, and you can plant them at this time of the year. They do very well in hanging baskets, but it needs to be a wire basket with a coir liner, not the normal little plastic baskets. They're a bit small. They also do very well in pots, and I was saying what's important with the strawberries is that when you plant them in the ground, the fruit lies on the ground and it rots. So what you can do is you can either put straw around them, or you can place a layer of weed guard on the ground, cut a slit in it, and then actually plant your strawberries in that, so that the roots go into the ground, but that your fruit doesn't lie on the ground and rot, that it lies on top of the weed guard or the straw.
And would that be from seedlings? Is that correct? We would have to buy seedlings to start, planting these strawberries. Is that correct, Michelle?
Yes, at the moment there's no seed available for the strawberries in the picture packets from the seed merchant. So seedlings or small plants are definitely the way to go.
And the type of soil?
The type of soil, they need a fairly well-drained soil, and you can mix compost into it and corn manure as well. And to feed them, the best is 315, because that will encourage fruit and flowering.
I've got another question that's come in, but let's take the call online. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead.
I'm calling to find out, when you plant pecan trees, do you have to plant two at a time, or can you plant one?
Which tree was that here?
Pecan trees.
Pecan trees.
See, okay. When you're planting them,
okay.
You can plant two at a time or one.
Yes. That's a bit of a controversial subject because some people say that they need cross-pollination. Others say they aren't. Basically, they're self-pollinating, but if you plant more than one variety, it will definitely improve and increase your yields.
Okay, so it's better to have more than one. Thank you very much for that one. And we've got another caller coming. Assalamu alaikum, please go ahead. Hello, please go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, please go ahead. Turn down the radio. We're getting your feedback, please.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Your question?
I just like to know the irises, the tall varieties. I've just obtained a Louisiana variety, and does it need sun or semi-shade?
Okay. Sun or semi-shade, Louisiana iris.
Louisiana is what they call the bog irises, so they can actually grow in shallow water as well, and they prefer sun, at least half a day sun.
Okay. That answers your question, Unifer?
Gee.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go. Welcome, Salam. Have you any more callers at the moment? Okay. The number to dial 854-1548, and we're taking any of your calls, any of your queries. Now, when we're talking about planting of vegetables, and we know that we have water restrictions and how we should be conserving our water, and we looked at the different things that we can. Pots, and you said, would dry out faster than in the ground. Is that correct?
Generally tend to place pots in an area that's got a lot of...
Sorry, man. We seem to have some feedback. Can we just... we're trying to sort that problem out, Michelle. 1 minute. Somebody seems to have put off the phone. We're not able to... Just 1 second, please. We do apologize for the technical glitch, and we're back, and we've got Michelle online with us. Michelle, we were talking about planting, the herbs and vegetables. What can you share with us?
Well, this time of the year, as I said, it's sweet peppers, it's chilies that one can plant, brinjals, cucumbers, baby marrows, your pumpkins. I see some of the garden centers even have pumpkin seedlings, which makes your crop ready that much earlier instead of planting the seed out. And particularly with the weather we're experiencing, at least you'll be able to look after your pumpkin plants or baby marrow plants easier than looking after the seed. And lettuces and, of course, all your herbs you can plant at the moment, rosemary, thyme, basil, oregano, coriander. It's really a good time to plant them out now.
You know, I've seen it become very trendy these days. You know, in the old days, you used to have the cold ring, boxes where, the cold rings used to be sold in those wooden crates and boxes. And that's become very trendy. I've seen it in a number of, garden centers where you take all your herbs and you plant it in that, or even any other wooden crate, and that seems to be the trend. Is that correct?
Yes, most definitely. One can actually use any container. The important thing is that one needs to have drainage holes. And if it's a wooden container, I would recommend that you line it with the weed guard, because that will at least protect your wood to a certain extent so that your wood won't rot so quickly.
And when you talk about, planting them in boxes, and like you said, a good idea was to zone them. Now, we have a lot of the newer varieties of the baby, whether it's baby marrows and the baby brinjals and the baby. Have that all come onto the market already, or are they still in the gardens, or are they still not available?
A lot of them are available. I know for a fact the brinjals and, of course, the dwarf tomatoes are available, which are smaller plants and with small tomatoes that are perfect for salads. And what's also very nice is the little yellow pear tomato, which is very sweet. It's not sour or like the cherry ones can be, and they're really delicious in salads. And they're not that big either. The plant reaches about a meter or so.
And are they available almost immediately?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Okay. And do you have any particular name that people could look out for?
Tumbler is one of the short tomato varieties, and then the one with a small little yellow pear-shaped fruit is called yellow pear.
It's called yellow pear. And if you buy them, how long would it take to get a yield from them?
You're looking at probably a month and a half to two.
Okay. And also good in containers, is that correct?
Yes, and of course they'll bear right up until the frost comes, which is normally only sort of May, so you'll have your tomatoes right throughout the season.
Okay, now when we're looking at some of the herbs, which ones are available almost immediately, and for example, could they be planted now or should be waiting for a while?
No, with this weather we're experiencing at the moment, you can plant any of them. One thing I'd just like to mention, that coriander and rocket, with this heat, you'll find will go to seed very quickly. So it's important to see the minute you see it starting to make a bud to flower, you need to remove that. Otherwise, all the sort of power, for want of a better word, goes into forming a flower instead of making leaves. But your basils and your thyme, all your herbs, even your lemongrass I see is already available, so that can all be planted. Now, the only herb I haven't noticed that I can think of off the top of my head that's not available yet is stevia.
Okay, just on this note, I've seen, just looking back into the garden, I found mine has died and come back again. Or does it happen all the time with stevia? Stevia perennial or is it annual?
In the warmer areas, it's perennial. In the frost areas, it's treated as an annual because it usually dies down completely and doesn't recover after the frost.
Thank you very much. And you only looked at some of these, and the question about the basil, you know, you have a number of varieties. You have the perennial ones and you have the ones that the annuals. Which one would be best for culinary use, the perennials or the annual?
For culinary, the normal, what they call sweet basil, I find it's got the nicest aroma and flavor, and it's got also the bigger leaves. So that's what they call the sweet basil.
Okay. And another query coming through. I see I've got lots of buds on my citrus, and what should I be doing at this time of the year?
And make sure that you don't overwater it. It's very important. Citrus need well-drained soil, and they must not be overwatered.
Okay, so and is there a feeding regimen required because it's a winter fruit and we're now going to midsummer?
It depends. Some of the citrus, like, for example, the lemon, they bear, the Eureka variety in particularly, it bears the whole year, but it has its heaviest crops in winter. And citrus enjoy Epsom salts once a month, and they'll also benefit from 315 fertilizer.
Somebody queried about the use of banana peel. Take us through some of that.
The use of banana peel for what?
Well, they were saying that they threw it into it and they found that it has a lot of potassium. Is that correct?
It definitely does. Yes, banana peel does contain a lot of potassium, and potassium is what encourages fruit and flowers. I've never actually used banana peel, but it makes sense that it would definitely encourage fruiting and flowering.
Again, now we've come almost to the end of the program, and just take us through. If I had to buy, and I was at a garden center, a nursery, which of the, you know, what should I buy in terms of, should I buy compost, should I buy, you know, 315, 317, which one of these would be the right one to buy that would have a general use in the garden?
Compost most definitely, because compost is basically almost the only way that you can improve the texture and quality of your soil, whereas 315 would be a fertilizer for your plants. To put it in plain language, compost feeds the soil and 315 would feed your plants.
Okay, so would you buy 315, 317, 235, whatever, which one would be recommended for a general use in the garden?
315 is the best because it will do your flowers, so you can put it on your hydrangeas, on your roses, on your geraniums, and on your fruit and veggies.
And what about lawns? That's the final question coming through.
You can use the 315 on your lawn as well, but 713 is probably a better choice because it contains more nitrogen.
Now I'm going to put you in, ask you something very personal. What is your preference for this time of the year? What would you buy? Tell us something that you'd...
We use 713 on our lawn, and we use 315 on our shrubs and flowering plants.
Okay, so 317. 315.
Yes. And if, on the lawn, 713.
713. Now, if you had to buy, and you had a couple of hundred rands, what would you buy?
In plants?
Well, anything. You just tell us what would you buy. Would you buy, or would you buy, would you go for food security, or would you go for aesthetics?
I enjoy growing my own food, so I definitely would buy food. But having said that, there's some very attractive food like the spinach bright lights or rainbow mixed chard, which has red stems. It looks very much like rhubarb stems. You get with red and orange and yellow stems. So whilst it is food, at least it is a beautiful plant in the garden as well. And parsley makes a lovely border as well.
Okay, so you buy spinach and parsley. And if you had to an aesthetics, that's the last part of it.
Sure, that's a difficult one. I like azaleas very much. Geraniums are one of my favorites, and you get the bush varieties and the trailing varieties, and they just flower constantly. So geraniums are certainly one that I would consider.
Well, thank you very much, and I know we're going to get lots of people coming out and doing lots of shopping and perhaps looking out for both the spinach and the parsley and the geraniums. What have you got for us to buy?
Yes, we've got everything. We've got over 15 varieties of tomatoes in stock at the moment.
Wow.
And most of your other summer chilies and peppers and lettuces and so on. And then I've also got a couple of roses on special. And incidentally, roses are quite water-wise. And those that like scented plants, we have the yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and the indigenous jasmine on special, which is a glorious scent. And then I also have some indoor plants on promotion at the moment, three of which are very well suited to dark areas, which I find is often a problem for people.
Well, thank you very much. You have a wonderful day. Thanks for chatting to us, and it's always enjoyable. And thanks for all the tips and all the hints that you shared with us. And I know many of our garden enthusiasts are going to put that into practice. And you take care. Enjoy.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Ismail. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tao. Bye-bye. And that was Michelle Kudzer, Brand Miller Nurseries. So it's an absolute pleasure to talk to her. She's got so much to share, so much to tell us. And if you're in that area and you've got looking for some of the, mini varieties, and that's what lots of people are talking about the mini varieties of vegetables. So do try that. Some of you would do well with it. And if you have just a small space, and like I said, even just a small crate, you can do some wonderful planting of veggies. And if you're doing lettuces, I find it's an absolute, what must in the garden to buy, the ones that do not form heads and give you lots of leaf. That's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.